Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
In kingdom prosperity, we get it. Look at the scripture, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. You must understand that the people of Israel that Joshua was going to lead, they had come from the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness, and they have to enter into the ideal place on earth that God had got for them. He called it the promised land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. And God comes to the leader, Joshua, and tells him, this is how you are going to do well, make your way prosperous. This is how you are going to get my people into the promised land. Meditate in the word of God. Let Jesus be your focus. Look at the, let's end it. But then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Underline good success. There is success and there is success. There is good success and there is bad success. They are all successes in the face of human beings. But one is good. Which one is the good? The kingdom one. The one that comes by not neglecting the word of God, not neglecting your spirituality, not neglecting meditating on the Lord Jesus. That is good success. Bad success is also success, but it's a bad success because it is religious in nature. It doesn't respect Jesus. It doesn't respect the word of God. And I must say this to those of you who are listening. Some of you, you think that, well, Chinese people, they don't have any respect for Jesus and all that, so to speak, generally speaking, I mean, as a nation. And then they are prosperous. So you want to follow them. There is success and there is success. There is good success, there is bad success. Some of you, your respect for the word of God, for Jesus, is so questionable. You know it yourself. You can be blessed. You can have clothes. You can have cars. You can have promotion, everything. But please understand, it's not kingdom prosperity. It is religious in nature. And I tell you what, anything that is religious in nature, the devil will come for it. The devil will shake it. It's only the kingdom of God, which is an everlasting kingdom, that cannot be shaken. We receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. The kingdom cannot be shaken. Kingdom issues cannot be shaken. It is founded on the rock. The rock is Jesus. He said, so therefore, those of you who hear these sayings of mine and do them, you are like somebody who builds his house on a rock. The wind can come, the rain can come, the devil can come, all the demons, so to speak, from your hometown, they can come against you. In Africa, all the corrupt people and everything can come against you, but they cannot push you down because of what? It's of the kingdom. It's according to his riches in glory. Not according to his riches in your workplace, so to speak, in your economy, so to speak, in your nation, so to speak. The difference between believers and unbelievers is that believers must never move away from the person that they believe in, the Lord Jesus, the word of God. It says that this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. When you do it, you obey Jesus. You obey the kingdom word. You make your way prosperous and you have good success. Bad success is success that didn't come because you respect Jesus and the word of Jesus, the kingdom word. You respect other things, other words of other people, but not the words of Jesus. He said in Matthew chapter 7, that therefore, is it verse 24? So therefore I say to you, whoever hears these sayings of mine, and he was ending his sermon on the mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The last part of 7. He said, therefore I say to you, if you hear these sayings, which sayings was he talking about? The sayings in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, or the sayings of Jesus. These are the sayings that he came and he said. For example, you have heard it said, you shall love your friend and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. Love your enemy. The word of God may have said in times past, hate your enemy. But he says that me, Jesus, I'm saying to you, it is those words that he said, if you hear these sayings and you love your enemies, you will be founded on a rock. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Meditate in the word of God, what? Day and night. Day and night. Can we all say day and night? Let it fill your day, begin your day, continue through your day, end your day, day and night. Psalm 1 is a very beautiful psalm that we all have to commit to memory. It's a very small psalm, but it's rich. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't follow the advice or the lifestyle of unbelievers. They don't respect God's word, which he has exalted above all his name. They don't respect Jesus. Nor stands in the way, in the path of sinners. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, underlying delight, is in the law of the Lord. What is the law of the Lord? It's Jesus. His delight is in Jesus. Or if you like, in the word of the kingdom. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You see the day and night again. Meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The one whose delight is in the word of the kingdom. Kingdom prosperity is part of his nature. Everywhere that he goes, he can generate it. In every economy, he can generate it. Because it's a character trait that he has. Says that such a person, he can be in a desert, but he's like a tree in the desert that is planted by the rivers of water. It will always flourish. Whatever he does shall prosper. What is the secret? Jesus. Can we all say Jesus? Let me show you the second difference between kingdom prosperity and religious prosperity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and then verse 9. It says what? He says that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. You know the grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, Jesus was rich, not so. Yet for your sakes, he became poor. When did he become poor? On the cross. Jesus, when he was on earth, when he was in glory, he was rich. When he was on earth, by earth standards, he was rich. When he became poor was when he was on the cross. Because he has taken our place. For your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So the question is that, how do we become rich? If you ask this question to the average believer, he will mention a number of things. You have to be a giver. Give to the church, give to the poor, give to people, and all that. He is going to tell you something else. Invest wisely. He's going to tell you something else. You must be a hardworking person. Every rich person in the world, you go into their life, they are hardworking people. These are the answers that you are going to receive. Be productive. These are answers you are going to receive. But look at the scripture and let me ask you, how do you become rich? You become rich, according to this scripture, through the poverty of Jesus. It didn't say through hard work. Can you see that? It didn't say through being a giver, a philanthropist. It didn't say through being a shrewd investor. It didn't say through going to America. It didn't say through going to Dubai. Those ways are the religious ways of getting rich. You become rich by hard work. You become rich by giving, being a philanthropist. You become rich by wise investment, etc., etc., name it. But that kind of riches you get without recourse to the cross of Jesus is religious in nature. It's religious prosperity. Kingdom prosperity is gotten through Jesus' poverty on the cross. Hallelujah. Pastor, does it mean that if you want to get kingdom prosperity, you don't become a giver, you don't give to the church, pay your tithe, maybe give offerings, give to the poor, you don't work hard and all that, you don't invest and all that? Is that how you get to become, you get to have kingdom prosperity? Does it mean that we don't do these things, we don't work hard so that we can get kingdom prosperity? No, that is not what we are saying. What the scripture is teaching us is that having done all these things, you must have Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for you, taking your place of poverty as a foundation. Hallelujah. So you can be rich and then forget about the cross. You can be rich and say that, and strike your chest and say that, it is by my might, it's my wisdom, it's my heritage, it's my nationality, it's my travel exposure that has given me those riches. It is good luck or something. Some people also believe in good luck. Ladies and gentlemen, kingdom prosperity cannot be gotten without recourse to the cross of Jesus. It is on the cross that Jesus Christ became poor. And it is by our focus on the cross of Jesus that we become rich. Hallelujah. Such a riches is rock solid riches, because it is founded on the cross of Jesus. Wonderful. Hallelujah. So be afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, be afraid, so to speak, into inverted comment. Be afraid when your focus on the cross is at a very low place, at an ebb. The lowest ebb, some people will say. Be afraid. When your labor doesn't have any recourse to what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Because when everything is said and done, after your hard work, after your tithe and everything, ladies and gentlemen, it is because he took your place of poverty that you become rich. And that is how you must understand how to get kingdom prosperity. You can't circumvent Jesus. You can't circumvent the cross of Jesus. Because anything that circumvents the cross, when your value of the cross, your revelation of the cross is dwindling by the day, be afraid of yourself into inverted commas. Because you are treading on the ground of unbelievers. In religious prosperity, people do not respect the cross. They don't even know that he was made poor on the cross, that he died naked for us, that his clothing was stripped off him, and they had to cast lot for his, so to speak, rich clothing, because it was so unique, you could not cut through it, so to speak. Say, no, let's not divide it. Let's cast lot. Whoever the CCC falls upon, let him take it. To fulfill the scripture, they cast lot for my clothing. Hallelujah. He was made so poor that he had to die naked without clothing. Even on the cross.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. It's wonderful. So in religious prosperity, people do not respect the cross. They don't have a revelation of Jesus' poverty on the cross. Because it is through that poverty that you become rich. It is not through your hard work that you become rich. Kingdom prosperity is gotten through the poverty of Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Let me show you the next thing. The next difference between kingdom prosperity and religious prosperity is that kingdom prosperity endures into the kingdom future. It endures into the kingdom future. Religious prosperity is the opposite. It is just for a while. The longest it has stayed is on earth. There is no regard for it in the kingdom future. I'm talking about eternity. That's a language we are familiar with. But kingdom prosperity, because it's of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is coming in its fullest expression. In that kingdom future, kingdom prosperity is recognized, is rewarded, is acknowledged, because it belongs to the kingdom. All other ones, it ends when the earth ends. And the worst part is that many times it ends before the life of the people ends. Or just after the life of the people ends, their prosperity ends. I don't know whether you like that kind of well-being. Where, you know, the book of Jeremiah, let me show you something in Jeremiah chapter 17. It says that as a partridge sits on eggs and hatcheth it not, so is the person who gets prosperity and not by right. Who gets riches and not by right. He will leave it in the middle of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. Jeremiah 17 and then verse 11. That is what I've just quoted to you. There is a prosperity that ends. The prosperity ends on this earth. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. In other words, he didn't use the right way, the righteous way of God. It will leave him in the middle of his days, and at his end, he will be a fool. Wow, that's religious prosperity. Because it wasn't gotten by right, the right way of the kingdom. But there is kingdom prosperity that endures into the kingdom future. Luke chapter 16 verse 9. Jesus Christ said, make friends to yourself by the unrighteous mammon, referring to riches, that when you fail, they may receive you into eternal habitations. In other words, Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 16 verse 9 that you can use money on this earth, your riches on this earth, to project yourself into the kingdom future. In other words, through the good deeds that you do on this earth with riches, you can have an everlasting home. It doesn't mean that through doing good with finances or riches, that is how to become born again, or that is how to go to heaven. No, he's just talking about that is a recognition that will be given because you used money to do good, and that goodness is recognized in the heavenly kingdom. Let's strengthen it in the book of 1 Corinthians First Timothy chapter 6 and then verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and then verse 17. Timothy comes after the book of Hebrews or so. Oh, after Thessalonians, just before Titus, Philemon, and Hebrew. So, 1 Timothy 6 and then verse 17 to 19. It says, I command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. He doesn't give us sparingly. How can you enjoy it? It's so small. But when he gives you richly, then you can enjoy it. Hallelujah. Let the rich, verse 18 now, let them do good. So they are rich in this world. Says that let them do good, that they become rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, or they should be sociable in the Greek. Storing up for themselves, please underline, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. Underline time to come. That's talking about the kingdom future. You can through riches do good works, and then that good works become a store, a treasure that you store for the time to come. In other words, kingdom prosperity is the one that endures into the kingdom future. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Religion cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No way. Hallelujah. Human ways cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Human flesh even cannot inherit the kingdom future. It has to be glorified. Hallelujah. Religious prosperity endures only on this earth. Kingdom prosperity goes far. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Please, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19 that we read, I want you to note the verse 19, store it up for themselves. You store up for themselves, you know. You store up for yourself. On earth, you store for other people. Let's see that one. But in heaven, you store for yourself. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and then verse number 20. Matthew chapter 6 and then verse 19 to 20. It says, do not lay up for yourselves. Please underline for yourselves. Do not lay up for yourself. In 1 Timothy 6, 19 says that store for yourself. Here Jesus is saying that do not lay for yourself treasures on earth. On this earth, you lay up treasures for other people, not for yourself. Where moth or rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up or store for yourself. Please underline, store for yourself treasures in heaven. Where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus Christ is saying to us that don't store for yourself treasures on earth. Store for other people treasures on earth. So that what? It will become treasures in heaven for yourself. The question we have to ask ourselves is, you know, Jesus, how can I store treasures in heaven? How can I do that? Because he says that lay treasures in heaven. Jesus, our question to you is that, how do I do that? He answered it in Matthew chapter 19. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 19 and then verse 21. Matthew 19, 21. Jesus said to him, that's to the rich young ruler, If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. Please underline, give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. So how do I store treasure in heaven? By giving on this earth to the poor. Can you see that from your Bible? It's beautiful. Hallelujah. He told this young man who was so rich, go and sell what you have, you know, and then give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Jesus is not telling you that go and sell all your belongings and give them to the poor. He is teaching us that if you want to have treasure in heaven, you must be a giver to the poor. Hallelujah. That is how to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. You cannot give to the poor if you don't have anything to give to the poor. If you just tell the poor, God bless you. How do I lay up treasures on this in heaven? I must be rich in this earth, and I must use the riches to do, willing to give, be sociable, willing to communicate, storing up for yourself treasures for the time to come in the kingdom future. It is by giving to the poor. Look at verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This young man said, I cannot do that. In other words, I cannot go and sell what I have and give to the poor. Because he actually had, his possessions had him as it is. Look at verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, we are ending now. Assuredly, I say to you that it is hard. Can we all say it is hard? It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Hey! It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you know the context in which Jesus said this? I'm saying this to us so that some people, they take the word of God out of context. This guy came to say, how can I have eternal life? He says, go and sell, go and do the commandment. He said, I've done everything. No wonder he was rich. He says, okay, one thing you lack, go and sell everything, give to the poor, and you have treasure stored up in heaven, and come and follow me. The guy was sorrowful, and Jesus said, it is very hard for rich people to enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean? What it means is this. Write it down. In the kingdom system, you don't own anything. In the kingdom system, you are not an owner of anything. This young man felt that the Bible says he had great possessions. He thought that what he had, the riches he had, was for him. That is why he found it difficult to do what? To give to the poor. If he knew that every riches, the silver and the gold in the kingdom system, he is the king, he is the Lord, everything is for him, including our own selves and our life is for him, our riches are for him, our cars are for him, our buildings are for him, our bank accounts are for him. If you are aware of that and he tells you, give to the poor, you will not hesitate because you know it is not mine. In the kingdom system, you are just a steward. The owner of what you have is God. That is why it is hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom system. Because the kingdom system doesn't work by having things, so to speak. It works by you knowing that everything you have, you don't have it. It's not yours. It belongs to God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Jesus went to the cross. The Bible says in John 13, knowing that the Father had given all things to him. Hallelujah. It is a wrong premise altogether if you are controlled by money for you to have kingdom life. or enjoy kingdom prosperity. It doesn't work like that, because the basic thing about the kingdom arrangement is that God is the owner of everything, and Adam and Eve, they can freely eat, but they don't own anything in the garden. And that is how I want to end. You don't own anything. That is why I command you to be a giver to the poor. So that what? So that you can have treasure in heaven. He didn't just say give to the church to have treasure in heaven. When you give to the church, it's another way of laying up treasure in heaven. But when you give to the poor, Jesus was very specific. He says, and you will have treasure in heaven. That is why he says that. Tell the rich people, they should be good. Laying up, storing for themselves treasure in the time to come. In kingdom prosperity, your prosperity that translates into your good works. The Bible says that blessed are those who die in the Lord, and their works, that they will rest from their labor. That is on this earth. But their works do follow them to where they are going. Their works. Revelations tells us that. Their works do follow them. That they will rest from their labor. They are no more laboring on this earth, but their works is following them into the kingdom future. God will salute those good works. The giving to the poor, God will reward it. Because that's a kingdom type of prosperity, and the kingdom must recognize it. Hallelujah. It was kingdom prosperity endures into the kingdom future. It gives you a reception in the eternal home. Hallelujah. It's powerful. That is why God wants us to have the character of kingdom prosperity. It's a fruit of the kingdom. It's part of your nature. You generate it wherever you are, because the thing is in you. Everywhere you go, you get blessed. You are prosperous. Not in a particular economy, not in a particular nation, but everywhere. They can put you anywhere in the world, because it is a part of your nature. Because kingdom prosperity is a fruit. You can generate it among the poor. Because Jesus, it was through poverty that he makes us rich. It's wonderful. Poor people make rich people rich. You don't know. But that's another sermon for another day. God bless you. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell, and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on.